The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Lots of commentary about the summer statement, the economic summer statement, which could be better described as the government trying to make conversations around an early budget go away. And there's been a lot of kites flown in the last couple of days, summarised very nicely by Danny McConnell on the Irish Examiner this morning. A mix of one-off measures and some targeted, more permanent measures, a repeat of the €200 energy credit and a Christmas bonus type payment in the autumn, reducing childcare costs, reducing student fees, building more social, private, cost rental and affordable houses, extending the reduced public transport fares, which I'm very much in favour of, by the way. I think that's a crackingly good idea. Extending free GP care, which I'm sure the GPs are not overly enthused about, and lower medicine costs. All of these things are sticking plasters for the massive increases that the consumer has had to bear in the last little while. And we'll talk about what people are looking for from the summer economic statement. But I'll go to Stephen Kinsta first of all. Stephen's the head of the Department of Economics at the University of Limerick and also the chief economics writer at The Currency. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning.
The big challenge with doing anything, and this is the classic government conundrum, is at a time when there is a huge amount of inflation, you don't want to do anything that will make that inflation worse. And in that list, that little shopping list I just came out with there, there's a couple of danger areas, isn't there?
There are. The most important thing really to think about is, what will you do to make sure that poorer households aren't made much poorer by the ever-increasing amount of inflation? I mean, that's the main thing I think that we all need to really focus on. Everything else in that list that you mentioned is, they're fundamentally things that they're structural, they need to change, for example, the cost of higher education for students or the cost of childcare. But neither of those two things really contribute to inflation. And the biggest problem the government's going to have to solve at the moment is how to make sure that particularly poorer households are better off than they otherwise would have been without those supports, and then make sure that you don't add to the inflationary spiral as things perhaps get a bit worse over the next couple of months.
But how do we successfully target? We're not very good at that. We know that we can give extra welfare payments that are well received by households because that's all means tested. The biggest mistake government could make right now is universal credits of some kind that everybody gets, including those who could probably afford it a little more.
I think one of the things that we're in danger of doing is maybe in a certain sense over targeting. So there are lots of people, for example, who will be listening to this, who don't get welfare payments of one kind or another, who are, you know, they're not getting a pension or any social welfare payments. They're just kind of working, and the main experience of inflation is driving up to the petrol pump and getting some fuel, and then like everyone else, watching their jaw drop as the price goes up and up and up and up, but before the thing is full. So what the government can do, and it will be expensive, but they are making there. The government finances are in rude shape at the moment, for a reason that we can discuss later if you like. But what the government can do is start doing kind of graduated excise cuts. So, for example, if inflation goes up by 5% over a couple of months, you actually drop the excise tax by 5%. And in doing that in an automatic way, you can help people at the petrol pumps while at the same time making sure that, you know, for example, the cost of commuting for lower income households is a huge part of their their salary. So
you're chasing inflation. Governments are urged to always chase inflation, particularly on something that's outside of their control, such as international oil prices. So let's say we're paying what, 213, 214 per litre of unleaded at the moment. Something happens at an international level that pushes that to 250. All of a sudden, it's swallowed up. It's gone. No, the public doesn't see any benefit from it, and as a result, the policy will have deemed to have been a failure.
Well, the government has to be seen to be doing something, and while they're never, and I don't think anybody credibly expects them to be able to offset the entire amount of inflation, the fact that the government is making a percentage of that 213, 214 means that it can offset that percentage, if you like, so that they can, like, if they said we took in X billion euros from excise last year, Things are getting better from that perspective for the government. They can hand that back to consumers without the taxpayer losing out or the consumers. And so in that case, you're not chasing inflation. But I don't think that the average person expects that the government is able to offset the full cost of a global, two global international crises at the same time. I think even the hardest critic of the government wouldn't level that at them. But
I'm sure they'll try, Stephen. Stop being so optimistic.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, they do want to see, I think the average person listening to this in their car wants to see something happen for the thing that they are experiencing most acutely, which is the cost of motoring.
Let's go to Karen Kiernan, CEO of One Family. Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
What are the main issues that you're hearing about now affecting people, particularly those on the lowest wages?
Yeah, so many people living in one-parent families are on very low fixed incomes, and they're really worried about their children. They're really worried about their children continuing to live without essentials. They're worried about keeping a roof over their head, about going into arrears on their electricity bills. Certainly filling a tank full of petrol could be a dream for some of them. So people are very much struggling. They don't have enough to live on from week to week. And things were difficult before this latest energy cost of living increase. But, we know that the weekly consumption has gone up nearly €40 for families. Now, if you're in very low income and social welfare, you don't have that. You never had it and you certainly don't have it now. So we're seeing parents making horrible choices about their food, about keeping a roof over their head, about paying their bills and what they're able to do, because there just is not enough money to go around for people who are reliant on social welfare. Even if they're working part-time, they're still not able to access all the supports that they need. And it's a really, really big struggle right now for people, and they're worried about winter coming up in a few months.
Yeah, well, we are in the middle of summer and there are different kind of costs that impact families right now. Summer camps are a luxury. They always have been.
Absolutely.
So there will be some people who will have either paid for them or who can't afford to pay for them right now. But this is the time when school uniforms are ordered, when school books are ordered, when school rental schemes are paid for. It's actually quite an expensive time, July and August. People think, well, the schools are off. It's a break. It isn't. It's probably the worst time.
It's really difficult for many working parents we know who don't have family support. They have no one to mind their children. They may not be able to afford summer camps, or they may not be available. And then they are facing into really significant back to school costs. And this combined with the kind of inflation that we're seeing means that people simply do not have enough money. And if we do not target right now, one, those children and their parents who need support most, those children are just going to be held back. Their lives are going to be, restricted right now in terms of what they can do. And that will have a potential lifelong impact. So we're really saying, let's use this extra taxation that the government has to put it back into the families who need it the most and to target that. Because it's possible to target, not everyone needs the €200 in their their fuel, but some people desperately need it. But we also need to be strategic.
Karen, how do you target it? That's the key question, because the last thing we need to do here is for someone like me to get the €200, because I can happily say, and thank God, I don't need it, but I really want the people who do need it to get their hands on it, and I'd happily give them mine. So how do we do that?
I totally agree with you, Jonathan, and I've said this a number of times myself. Luckily, I haven't needed it, but I know families who desperately need it. And there are really clear ways of targeting through social welfare is one way, because the very poorest families are living and reliant on social welfare. We also have a huge cohort of lone parents who are working, who are in low paid jobs, and they are on the working family payment, but they aren't eligible for the fuel allowance. Now, if they could get that, that would make a huge difference, because they are struggling. Many people are living in poverty week to week, and yet they're working. So that's a way. The other way that we have suggested in this year's budget is to give the living alone allowance to lone parents. This is a payment that a lot of older people get who are living alone. But for a lone parent and their child, they don't get it. And they have massive costs to run their home and to keep their child. And this would be an innovative way, again, of targeting those families, because research shows us over and over again, the families that who are in the lowest income with the least savings, who are in the most energy poverty, are unfortunately people who are parenting on their own. Okay. So it is possible to target them.
Seamus Boland is CEO of Irish Rural Link. It's easy to break it down to the have and have nots in many ways, Seamus, but geography, you say, plays a huge factor in all of this as well. What do you mean?
Yeah, geography is a major part. And look, we have reports ranging from the Central Bank to the ESRI, even this morning, Graham Thornton, making it very clear that energy and the cost of transport in rural areas is the separating fact between the urban and the rural. We know the same needs are required. We know people have drops in income, etc., etc. But really, the travel to school, and remember, some of the travel to schools is not fully covered or not subsidised at all. In fact, if you're under 4 miles, I think you have to find your own way to schools. And on rural roads, that's a problem. But really, the issue is transport. And we've done surveys over the last number of years where we consistently find, in normal times, there's €100 per month of a difference. In other words, more expensive to live in rural, all caused by transport and energy. And I think that's the major issue there.
And how do you then differentiate? How do you target that particular group of people in rural Ireland are impacted by a lack of public transport? It's harder to get to them than it would be to get to somebody who's on social welfare, who we know we can target.
Yeah, well, I suppose the thing, the interesting, you know the way they've reduced transport costs in the cities and cutting fares, etc. Of course, that hasn't applied.
But it has applied to rural routes as well. If you get a rural bus service, then you've benefited from the reduction.
Yeah. Well, how many rural transport services do you know who are actually of any use to people? Like, I was talking to a man this morning who has a free transport pass and he hasn't used it yet because there's no public transport service near him. So I think that's just the reality. It's just that there's less public transport available in the rural areas. So unfortunately, everybody, as the Graham Thornton this morning showed, everybody's relying on the car, and that's the way it's going to be. But I think in terms of targeting, I think they could widen the gap, or they could widen the remit in terms of school transport. I think they should widen that considerably. That would help enormously. And it would also encourage parents maybe to more buses into the system, and maybe parents not to be driving, having to drive with their kids to school. Because
they're medium term solutions. We can't just magic up buses in September for this to make an impact this year.
No, well, then we're faced with what they've done in Britain. They've brought in subsidies through fuel vouchers and stuff like that for people living in rural areas. That's what we're talking about yesterday.
Where does it stop, though? How do we get vouchers that subsidise fuel for people living in rural areas without having to give them to hauliers who are desperately looking to protect their incomes in the face of rising costs? I mean, how do we work out who gets what? This is the conundrum, Seamus. I mean, I'm sure people living in rural Ireland would be delighted to get a voucher, but how do you prove it?
Well, I think you start with people who are on the lower incomes, and they have to prove it in that way. That's the way we've done it all along, and we continue to do it that way. But we need to widen some of the gaps there in terms of what is a low income anymore, because certainly couples are seriously struggling in rural areas, even if they have a part-time job and etc., two jobs even. At the lower income level, they cannot make it at the moment, and rural transport and the cost of it has gone seriously up, and they are struggling.
I appreciate that. Seamus Boland, CEO of Irish Rural Link.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m.